Welcome to I Am Jen Wilson, the Healing Rebel podcast. And today I have Kirsty, who I've met online via Instagram. She is, I think just before we were talking about one of our mutual friends, Jules, and I think it was actually Jules who'd shared some of Kirsty's stuff, and that's how I started following her work. And I really love what it is that she does, and reached out and asked if she would be here to share some stuff. So thank you so much for being here, Kirsty. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm Kirsty, and I am, well, somebody last week called me the CEO, which I suppose I am, of Sober Buzz Scotland, which is now a community interest company. And I'll speak about a bit more about that later. And I've also got my own coaching practice, which is called Sky Rose Coaching. And I predominantly work with people who want to look at their relationship with alcohol. So people who maybe are feeling a bit fed up with it or who know that they have to make a change, the majority of people know for about 6 7 years that they want to make a change for their relationship to alcohol. So my space, either on Sober Buzz or at Sky Rose Coaching, is a really positive space. I'll refuse to be shamed about my problem drinking from the past. I've moved on from that, and I really want to help others be able to do the same and bring it out into the light and actually celebrate your alcohol-free living or your sobriety or whatever language you want to use, because actually it's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah. So how long has it been since you embarked on this path? You're saying
Okay.
that journey to get there. Can
Yep.
you talk about that?
Yeah, so I'll be 6 years sober in December. But I stopped drinking when I was 41, but I knew when I was 27 that I had a problem with alcohol. So for 14 years I lived in what I would describe as absolute turmoil. I was continuing to do the same thing over and over and over and over again, not getting anywhere different with it, and slowly but surely eroding away at my confidence by actually just shaming myself. I often share that I used to, near the end of my drinking, I used to stand in the shower and say out loud, "I hate myself. I fucking hate myself. I'm a disaster. I'm a bad mum." And I affirmed these things almost daily to myself. And I know a lot about affirmations. I see very different things about myself these days. So I never saw it happening. I never ever thought I'd stop drinking. Up until the day before I stopped, I didn't think I'd stop drinking. I thought I was destined to be a problem drinker because I just didn't see how people like me, and I'm doing that weird in brackets things, could stop drinking. I wasn't involved in the wellness sphere at that time. I was just looking around me thinking, how the fuck am I going to stop drinking and taking drugs? I took drugs as well, and continue to have the friendships that I've got, or continue to have the life. My whole personality was tied up in my drinking. So I was secretly drinking at home. So during the week, drinking 3 bottles of wine a night. And then I was going out at the weekend, and I was a bomb scare when I was out from Friday till Sunday. And I just thought, I just couldn't see how this would actually happen. So the majority of people nowadays know me as Sober Kirsty, which is so funny for me because, like, there's still a part of me, it's like, what the fuck? How have I got here? Because it wasn't expected. If you met any of my friends from back then, and I'm still really close friends to, well, at least three people who knew me when I drank, and they would say they just never saw it coming.
So what was that moment? What changed?
So this is definitely what I would call a spiritual moment. I don't know what it was. I'll explain what happened. So I woke up again after, it was on the 27th of December, I had my last drink. I woke up on the 28th of December, and I had the usual empty bottles in the living room, half a drunk glass of wine next to my bed, classy drug paraphernalia kicking about the house. I'd been smoking in my bedroom, and I woke up, and yet again, I'm saying to myself, I can't do this. I just cannot do this anymore. I felt particularly broken that day. It had been a really tough. I find December quite difficult. Not so much now, but my mum passed away in December. It's my birthday in December. I was close to my mum, so I missed her at Christmas. So it had been another limping through December as everybody was celebrating, and I was just numbing out, numbing out. And two things happened that day. So I got down, and I mean literally got on my knees and said, I can't do this, I can't do this. And I don't know if I spoke to my own soul. I don't know if I spoke to divine spirit. I don't know what I spoke to. But I've never drunk since. However, my best friend came down that day and removed everything out the house, and she saw what a state I was in. It was between Christmas and New Year, and I was really, really unwell, and I had to sign myself into a crisis centre. So, I mean, I was, people quite often people will say to me, "What was your rock bottom?" And that wasn't my rock bottom. There was far greater. There was other things that had happened. But with rock bottoms, and why I don't often talk about them very often, is it allows others to move the goalposts. Oh, well, I've never done that, so I'm not that bad. I've never done that, so I'm not that bad. But that day, I don't know if I was just, part of me is saying, was I just about to give up? But actually, as soon as I say that, I'm like, no, I was just about to go, because to start, but I did think I was going to die. I thought my body's just going to give up on me because I was so mentally and physically exhausted. Like, I needed a break. I didn't need another drink, but I didn't know how to get that.
What age were you when you started drinking?
And this is a massive moment as well. And once again, I feel it's like people say things were meant to happen, and I do get that. Everything maybe happens for a reason, and that might be quite difficult for some people to, especially when something terrible's happened. But the first time I drank, I got my stomach pumped. I was really young. I was 14. I'm quite a wee woman. I was a very wee 14-year-old, and I had to go back to school after that and absolutely fucking brass it out. So I went from being somebody who really enjoyed history and English and music. I was in the brass band, so I played the trumpet in the brass band. I loved drama, all this stuff. And this is not a slight on these people, but I then had to realign myself with the people I got drunk with, because I was terrified because people were talking about what happened that night, and I felt I had to be in there to try and almost protect myself, or to be part of that. So from leaving school on the Friday and being, I certainly wasn't a good girl because I was known for being quite gobby and quite like I was always, debating. Like, I call it debating now, but they say Kirsty speaks too much. They always said that about girls in the 90s, though. Kirsty, argues too much, but I was always questioning things, question, question, question. And then I had to go back into school the following and just pretend I wasn't giving a fuck. I started skiving school. I started getting stoned at lunchtime. I got into the rave scene at 16. So that first drink took me, I've thought about this long before. That took me on a very, very different path. I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't had that drink.
That I was about the same age when I started drinking. And it was when I started drinking, it was because I didn't fit into any group. I didn't have, and I still, as an adult, I'm like, I could fit in everywhere, but I don't fit in anywhere. You know that way, I always feel like the outsider on the edge of any group. And I was like, right, if I start drinking, at least the cool kids will like me, and then I won't feel like I'm at the risk of being bullied. And I remember the first time that I had a drink, feeling so numb and so not insecure. I didn't feel secure, but I didn't feel insecure, and it just took that away and numbed it. And I was like, wow. And I was the only one out of my group of friends that was drinking at the time, and they were all kind of like, oh, and they were kind of looking after me and looking out for me. And I used to, I hope my mum doesn't watch this, but I used to steal. It's too late now. It was 30 years ago. I used to steal drink out of my mum and dad drink cabinet because they used to have alcohol in the house, but they didn't drink. So there would be like a bottle of white rum and a bottle of whiskey and a bottle of gin, and I would just get a juice bottle and put a cocktail of all these different drinks with some fresh orange in it, and then that's what I stole to drink. And then I ended up, I had a friend that was drinking as well, and we used to get a guy from one of the local shops to go to the supermarket to buy us a half bottle of vodka. Like, I didn't start on the cider and work my way up. I started on the spirits and stayed there for the rest of my time drinking. But there was, because when I was 11, we lost my mum's sister, and there was a whole lot of emotion around that I didn't feel I was ever able to feel supported in that grief journey. My mum was dealing with her grief, and I had grandparents telling me not to be upset in front of my mum because she would get upset. You know, that be protection of just suppress your emotions, just suppress your emotions. And this drinking alcohol helped that. And then that was then my crutch. Everything bad that happened, I'll just get drunk, I'll just get drunk, I'll just get drunk. And it was only, so I was 9 years past in September there that I'd been sober. And I realised last year, the only time that I've ever thought I could really take a drink just now was when shit was hard. I have never been on a night out or at an event where I've been having fun that I thought, oh man, I wish I was drunk at this. Not once, not ever. But when stuff was hard, I was like, I wish I could just get drunk.
Congratulations on your 9 years. That's incredible. It is just so lovely to meet people who are still carrying on and doing it. And what you were saying there resonates in slightly different way, but very similar. I've got a very, well, I don't anymore. I don't have a relationship with my dad anymore. But when I was a young teenager and a young adult, and up until after my mum died, my dad's got a very abusive relationship with me. And at the time, it was like, that's what, like, you know, it was the 90s, and the relationship between my dad and my little brother, who is my full brother, you know, there's not a mixed family in there. It's night and day. And I remember aunties of mine, so my great aunties, saying, you know, your dad shouldn't speak like that. And, you know, so I knew it wasn't right. And I it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because my dad used to use really, really problematic language to me. She's off her head. She's no right. There's someone no right with that bairn. But there was no compassion. I didn't want you to think he was like, there wasn't. And through being sober or alcohol-free, whatever lying, I know we think we were chatting earlier about the weightedness of those words, but through my alcohol-free living, I've been able to really deal with that, and it's been really, really tough. And I've had to make the decision not to have a relationship with him. My brother still does, and I still have a relationship with my brother. But looking back now, you know, my daughter's 20 now, and I was 6 years younger than that when I first, or 7 years younger than that, when I first remember being really aware of how my dad was for me. And I think, oh my God. And, you know, we talk about our inner child, and it's my inner teenager, and I've done a lot of work on that. And I'll ask, what does she need? And I'll go to my bed sometimes and order fried rice and curry sauce and eat my bed, which sounds weird, but that's what I wanted to do when I was 13, 14. I wanted left alone, and I wanted to do all these things. And my dad was extremely hard on me, and then using this weird language against me. So very similar to you, something pretty shitty happened to me 2 years ago. And it was the first time I was on the phone trying to get something sorted. It's really random, but my cat was ran over, and I adored my cat. And the council had taken her body away, and I wanted her back because I wanted to, you know, have a ceremony and do all this stuff for her. And I was on the phone to the council, and this fucking thought just flew into my head, which was like, just fucking drink a bottle of wine. And I was like, I was in this room. I totally was like, oh my God, like, where? I was able to stop it and be like, no, no, no. But it was that, oh my God, I don't know how to cope with this. This is really, really hurting me. So, yeah, I'm the same. I party, not so much now, I'm 46, but I do. People know that I do go out and I go to gigs, and I occasionally go to techno nights because I love techno. Never at these nights when I'm having fun and when I'm somatically moving the rage out of my body or the happiness or whatever, have I ever thought, oh, I want to take some coke or I want to drink. But that time, that moment, the first year was hard, but that time 2 years ago, that was mad. And I was like, whoa, 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 okay, let's look at this. What's happened there? And it's back to that thing again where, you know, things feel really awful and, you know, just escaping. Escape. It was escape, escape, escape for me.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely was for me as well. So my moment of awakening was sitting on the beach in Ibiza. I was, it was the last time I was there, 2014. And I had always wanted to see the sunrise because we always stayed on at Bora Bora. Over in the east coast, I was like, oh, I want to see the sunrise, and I never made the sunrise because by the time the sun was coming up, I was like comatose somewhere, or doing things that I shouldn't have been doing with people that I shouldn't have been with. And this one night, I was like, right, I'm not going out tonight, I'm gonna go to my bed early, I'm gonna set my alarm, I'm not gonna have a drink, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna go and watch the sunrise. And I did it, and so, you know, I was sitting by the beach on the beach by myself watching the sunrise, and I just had this feeling in my heart, and I was like, oh, this is what I'm looking for. All those times when I was drinking to have fun, taking drugs to have fun, and yeah, okay, I was having fun maybe, always regretted stuff after, but it was this feeling in my heart of watching the sunrise and feeling at peace and feeling happy. And I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. And it was just like, that was it. The decision was made. There was no discussion about it. There was no argument. And then I went out that night and we went to Pasha and we went out for dinner first and I was out till 7 o'clock the next morning, not a single, nothing, clean as a whistle, and had the best night of my life. And then we went back and watched, me and my friends went back and watched the sunrise again, and I was like, this is what it's about. This is it. Oh, I can have fun without all the things that they tell you are going to give you the fun, that are going to give you the confidence. It was all there. It was already in me. And I was just like, oh. And then, as I said, I haven't looked back other than at that moment last year, and I wasn't well. Like, I got diagnosed with Crohn's in 2016. I was in a massive flare, and I was just like, I couldn't see the other side of it. I'm like, I know this will pass, but I had been in pain for months, and I had been on the toilet for months, and I was down to 50 kilos, and I'm like, what's the point? If I just drank, this would take the pain away. And it was just, yeah. And I knew it, but I knew it wouldn't, because it would actually cause me more pain, because it causes inflammation in the body. So,
Yeah.
yeah, so it was, but yeah, haven't looked back. And then I was saying to you before we started recording, I had shared on my email list about, oh, that was me just gone past the 9 years being sober. And my mum was like, that makes you sound like you were an alcoholic. And then we were trying to have this discussion around the language, and for a long time I didn't use the word sober. And then I did. And then I'm like, but is it the right word? Is it not? Like, language is so loaded. So do you have thoughts on the different language around
So,
alcohol?
yeah, and I'm really, really pleased to have this opportunity to talk about this because I want to share something. So, in the past, I think I'm a little bit older than you, but I think we're probably similar in the similar age groupish type thing, right? So, in the past, when we were wee, an alcoholic was somebody that was a poor soul sitting in a street drinking. I'm in Edinburgh. I'm in Leith. They were always at the bottom of Leith Walk. That was an alcoholic. So as I grew up, I kept thinking to myself, am I an alcoholic? No, because I was judging myself against these people, and that made me feel, well, I'm okay, I'm not that bad. So the term that's much more commonly used now is alcohol usage disorder. And I would love to just explain what that is. So that is anybody that's having any negative impacts because of their drinking. So that could be the person that binge drinks every 6 weeks and makes a complete and utter shop front of themselves, falls out with everybody, loses their phone, all that sort of stuff. It could be, somebody who has started drinking wine on a Thursday night and all of a sudden they're drinking it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're never drunk, but they're like, this doesn't feel right. And they're still doing it. Oh, I'm not going to drink again. Wednesday comes and they're drinking again and they're not sure why. Alcohol usage disorder covers people like me who were hiding their drinking and who were, I held down a job when I was that in brackets alcoholic, when I had my alcohol usage disorder. So there's this weight about these words, right? So like, oh, sobriety, I'm sober, I'm dry, I'm living alcohol free. All this weird, like, because I know I work with so many people and they don't, and I can see that they don't like certain words because, like, maybe your mum, they're like holding a lot of weight into sobriety. But everybody that I've just told you about that stops drinking or who knows they want to stop drinking, so from the street drinkers that want to stop to people like me to people who binge drink, everybody. They might be wanting to stop for different reasons, or they might have to stop for different reasons, but it all boils down to something that you said earlier and something that I say all the time, is they want peace in their life. They want a life that they are comfortable with and that they're proud of, and peace and contentment. And like every time I say I've got my eyes are welling up now, every time I say peace and contentment, I never knew peace and I never knew contentment. I was in survival mode for so long after my mum died, and I've been a single parent my whole life. And it's only the last 2 or 3 years where I'm like, I allow myself to go, oh my God, this is peace, this is contentment. So for people who might be listening to this and who think, oh, I think I'd like to make a change, but they're embarrassed or they're shamed. So when I shamed myself about my drinking, I got no help, I drank more, I thought I deserved this, the language was really, really bad. When I stopped drinking, I started to use language like, which was really tough for me, Jenna. I wasn't a big self-help girl back then. Like, this was all new, I was tiptoeing into it, but I started saying, what do I need? Like, how can I care for myself? Because I'd lost my mum 6 years, 7 years before I stopped drinking. So like I was like, how can I care for myself? Like how can I stop shaming myself? How so MD that's got a bit of shame about their drinking, I'm going to give you permission now to let that go. Just please, please, please know that for as long as you're in that shame space, you're really going to struggle to make a change. Maybe once you stop drinking, you can look back and see what was going on back there. Because a lot of my behaviors that I was struggling with, and I'm not making excuses for myself, a lot of the time I had to make amends and apologies to people, but there was other times I was backed in a very scary corner and my behaviors were maybe me trying to protect myself. So if you feel scared by the word sobriety or sober or alcohol-free even, right? Just say, I just want to have a better quality of life. I just want a bit of peace and contentment, you know? If you're telling your friends you want to stop drinking and you're going to them and saying, oh, I feel so bad. I'm really embarrassed by my behavior. I'm a bad person. They will all, I can tell you now, they'll say, you're not that bad. Just drink less. If you go to your friends and say, do you know what? I just want to feel peaceful and content and happy. So I'm really going to give this Sober October a try or Dry January or whatever. Your friends are more likely to be like, all right, okay. Because if our friends are telling us we want to feel at peace and content and happy, they're less likely to say, just have a drink. So it is a really weighted and sticky and almost quite dark and dank place to be sober or alcohol free. You know, what is the right word? Use whatever is right for you. I would say I'll have alcohol free, you know, and then if MD asks, I would say, oh yeah, I was a problem drinker. I drank every day, but you know, you don't have to tell people why you've stopped drinking. That was a massive answer. So sorry. I just went off because it's something I'm so passionate
Answers. No, I love massive answers. I
about.
love massive answers and I love tangents.
That's something I'm hugely passionate about is removing that stigma from that, you know, especially the word alcoholic. So I've got family members, God love them, that would say you were an alcoholic because it probably makes them feel a bit better about their drinking. And also they had no idea what was really going on because I was a little secret squirrel and I was, you know, running around to the shops when people left 8 o'clock at night and getting another two bottles in or whatever. So yeah, it's so loaded, particularly in Scotland.
Yeah, because it is just, I'll just have a drink. That's the solution to everything, whether it's a celebration or a commiseration or just the day ends in DAY.
That's what I used to say. If the day ends in a Y, I'd have a drink.
Somewhere, that's the other thing that was commonly said. Oh, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, I can have a drink. Friendship groups. So you kind of, like, when you were talking there, that's what brought it to mind. Some the people that are around you might be quite happy with their drinking habits, whether that's a glass of wine every night, whether that's a bottle of wine every night, whether it's a bottle of wine every week, whatever. Those people might or might not be supportive on your journey, and that can be difficult. That can be a challenge and a roadblock and also an excuse for people on that journey. How did you find that, and how did you help people navigate around that?
Yeah, so many clients and people who contact people drop me messages all the time. Even people that don't work for me, people drop in and chat and they'll say I was doing fine until I went out and then I just felt really succumbed to peer pressure or somebody was saying, but you will drink at my birthday, you know. And it tends to be these really close friendship groups or people that we drink with or people that we socialize with. And I think for a lot of people, the thought of socializing without drinking can be like, well, what am I going to do? But I can promise you it does get easier. However, first of all, I want everybody to remember that we all have friends for a lifetime, a season, a reason, and a lifetime, right? So if you look back on your life, you know, I'm 46. If I look back to when I was 20, so 26 years, there's been lots of friends that have just come and gone because I've changed job, I became a mum, so I had my friendship group changed. And now that my daughter's an adult, I don't really see those mums from school that were kind to my friend. But as soon as we think, oh my God, I'm going to lose friends because if I stop drinking, it feels once again really weighted and really weird. I've got three friends that I've known since I was 20. I was out with one of them on Saturday. They've stuck by me, but they stuck by me when I was an absolute fucking liability. So I'm delighted they've stuck by me at this point as well. And they're kind of my friends for a lifetime. You know, they're my. But I have to be honest with you, there, when I was 41, when I stopped drinking, I lost a relationship, not just friends. There was a romantic relationship ended. And other friends did drift off. But when I was honest with myself, the relationship really wasn't for me. And also, they were more acquaintances. And when I thought about it, I particularly didn't want to hang out with them when I was drinking, when I was not drinking, sorry. But if you're worried about really, really close friends and how to navigate that, in the very early days, I said to my best friend, the girls I've just told you about, I had a stomach problem and the doctor advised me to stop drinking. Now that the doctor hadn't advised me that, but I did have a stomach problem because I was drinking. It was really bad in my tummy. And that meant I had an excuse not to go to events. I'd say I'm not coming because I'm still kind of looking after myself. And then like when I did tell them I had been like 3 or 4 months alcohol free, like they couldn't believe it because nobody could, and they were amazing. They were like, yeah, we'll go for lunch, we'll go for dinner. Maybe a couple of times I had to say, honestly, I'm really not drinking. And they stuck by that. And they were great and I love them to pieces. And they never listened to anything like this because they're just like, God, Kirsty. To them, I'm just Kirsty. That was always been Kirsty, not sober Kirsty. But if you're worried, if you want to stop drinking or you want to make some really positive changes to your life, and I want you to think about that if you're listening to this and you do want to make changes with your relationship with alcohol, just keep telling yourself you're making a positive change in your life. Speak to your friends and use that language. Now, when we think about stopping drinking and we've thought about it for so long and we know all the things that we've done that we're maybe not very proud of, it can make us really shudder and we think, oh my God. But people don't need to know that. Maybe you're close. My best friend is called Alison, and not even she knows my rock bottoms. They will go to the grave with me. Like, people don't need to know absolutely everything, but share what you're comfortable with. And I often say that if you're going on a works night out, you're not going to tell some nosy bastard from a different section what you're up to and why you don't drink. But you might tell your close friend from work and say, listen, I'm still not drinking. I'm feeling amazing. So just letting you know. And maybe say that to your closest friends as well and just say, I know you'll never believe it, but I've decided I want to take a break for the drink because I just want to see how I feel without it. And it's the one thing I can't explain to anybody, but I know you know my friend Jules, and I know you'll know this because you've done an amazing 9 years alcohol free. You will meet your people. Like I have met people this last six almost 6 years. One of them, Nikki, who I was on holiday with last week, who's my, she's my soul sister. She's not just a friend, she's somebody that my sobriety like absolutely brought in. And my clients are so scared that, oh my God, what if I never have friends again? And then clients that I worked with a year ago are messaging me this week and be like, oh, by the way, I'm out with a bunch of new sober people online and we went out for walks. And it's like, but it's the scary bit, isn't it? It's like, oh, because you're having to leave something that might feel quite safe. But I can promise you, once you stop drinking and free up the free time and see what you really want to do, you're going to open up space for your people to come in. Sadly, I can't explain how that'll happen, but it absolutely will.
Well, and you also have more money to do stuff because you're not spending it on alcohol because it's so bloody, and then all the other stupid stuff that you buy when you're drunk.
And time, even if it's just like, that thing, should I drink on Saturday? Will I drink on Saturday? Who's going to be there on Saturday? And if I drink on Saturday, what does that mean on Sunday? And if I do drink, will I just have a drink on Sunday as well? Because I could probably drink if I'm cooking dinner. This constant thinking about drinking. So, what's the one thing that we can't get back is time. And by stopping drinking, all that time spent thinking, and what if I say something stupid? Did I say something stupid? Have I offended MD? That goes. I'm sure I probably still offend people, but I don't care as much these days.
You don't need to get up in the morning and check all your text messages to see who you've texted, what you've said, how you've said it, who you've voice noted. Like, you don't have to do any of that, all of
So
that.
you were
If
saying
you're
earlier before we started the call that you're a Pisces. Well, I'm a Sagittarius and we are notorious for just ghosting people or blocking things out. I used to wake up in the morning and just delete them all and think, well, if I can't see it, it doesn't matter and it's not happened. That's just that I'm a very typical Sagittarius. So yeah, like I used to hate that feeling in the morning.
A Pisces trait is just to cut people off. So, like, you've offended them, they've offended you. Oh, well, they're dead to me now. And you move on. Similar to that Sagittarius, just move on, pretend it never happened.
Yep. That was yesterday. That's not important to me today.
Yeah. Goodness. The personality traits that we have and the excuses that we give ourselves. The Sober Buzz Scotland, talk to me about that.
Yes, so Sober Buzz Scotland started off as a micro blog, just me being online saying, my life is the best it's ever been since I stopped drinking. When I stopped drinking, and it'd be interesting to know what you think about this, like 6 years ago, there wasn't really people online saying, this is amazing. In fact, like I couldn't find anything positive, and I was starting to think, my life is much better. So I started Sober Buzz, and it was meant to be sober meetups and an opportunity for people to connect with each other across Scotland. And then obviously lockdown came, like just and shutters all down. And all of a sudden, Sober Buzz Scotland became something very, very different. And I was holding 2 to 3, sometimes 4 free Zoom calls a week, allowing people to come on and connect. By this time, I was doing my qualification in transformational coaching, but I had also been working in the prison service. I still volunteer in the criminal justice system, helping people in recovery. So I had these tools that I knew that I could support people online with. So slowly but surely, we built like a really, really strong community in Scotland, on Sober Buzz Scotland, sorry. And people were meeting up online and chatting and connecting. And then after lockdown, I was really helping more people, supporting them. People were asking me what to post, saying, could you talk about this or could you talk about that? So I was posting more and more and more. And this year, I was granted community interest company status. So what that means is I'm a non-for-profit. I've got three other incredible women on my board of directors. I've got Brona, who is a lawyer. I've got Suze, who's an accountant, and I've got Jane, who works in the third sector. And they're all sober as fuck like me. And Brona and Suze I met during lockdown. They're two of my really good friends from Sober Buzz. And it is our mission, and we're going to do it. It's happening. We're just going through all the very slow, laborious policy making bits at the moment, but we're going to get out into the community and we're going to start supporting people, or I am going to get out there, who can't afford to work with me. You know, people in the communities who probably don't even know that such a thing as Sober Buzz exists. So many people come to me and say they went to their doctor to say that they wanted to stop drinking, but their doctor suggests either Smart Recovery or AA. Nothing wrong with Smart Recovery or AA, but I went to AA. It fucking terrified me. I never went back again. Some people just won't go. So we want to offer something very, very different, something that's still a community, something that is there to support you, but also with my qualifications, with my support work that I do, with my coaching that I do, allowing people to think, actually, there is a different way in Scotland. We don't have to drink or take classes or whatever to enjoy ourselves. So we've just joined up a partnership with PTSD UK as well, because so many people have got PTSD or are using alcohol to numb what's going on. So I can't believe it. I'm pinching myself, but we've also got free meetups. We're meeting up on, I can't remember the date, 2 weeks yesterday, the 15th of October in Glasgow for a wander.
I think this is that Sunday the 14th. I
It's
can't
that
remember.
Sunday that we did. It's the 15th because yesterday was the first, so it'll be the 15th.
Kelvin Grove.
Kelvin Grove Park. Yep. We're meeting at 2 o'clock. We had a meeting in Edinburgh, or a walk in Edinburgh last month, and there was 20 people joined us. And I think I really want to say that we don't sit around going, my name's Kirsty and I'm an alcoholic, right? In fact, some people don't even mention it, you know, but we all know that we're either sober or sober curious. Or a couple of times we've had lovely, lovely granny-aged ladies come who were supporting their family who were going through stopping drinking. That's happened in the past, you know, so we're open to anybody. The only rule is that you don't come drunk. Because I can't be arsed with drunk people. So that's what Sober Buzz is, and it's just like blowing my mind what's happening with it. So, but it's totally my life mission to give everybody permission to be like, okay, I'm going to give this a try.
That's amazing. I'll make sure that I share the Glasgow event on all my socials,
Thank you.
to raise awareness of it, because before lockdown there was a couple of like sober ecstatic dance kind of events that were from, I can't remember what time it was, like 7 till 10 or something like that. So I'm like, that's a perfect time because I like to be in my bed for 9:30.
Me too.
But they were really nice. They're really nice events, but they had a certain energy around them that if you weren't a spiritual, like into spirituality or cacao circles and being in touch with yourself, you might have come into that space and gone, this is not for me. These people are a bit weird. These people are a bit hippy dippy kind of thing. So it's trying to find the group of people for you that you connect with. Because like you said, AA can be a really good thing, but it's not for everybody. Just the same as Weight Watchers can be really good for some people, but it's not for everybody. Like there are groups and communities of lots of different things that you just need to go along, check it out, come away, go along, check it out, come away until you find and go, oh, these are my people.
There's an amazing night in Glasgow once a month. It's now monthly and it's called Good Clean Fun, and it's not not like spiritual in any way. It's just I don't mean just, but it's DJs. It's run by people who are living alcohol free, and there's no alcohol at the event. It's held in Glasgow once a month. I've been to loads of them. I absolutely love them. They play banging tunes. It's not, you know, any like happy hardcore, any shit like that, or trance, whatever. It's just really nice dance music or music to dance to, and that's a real mixed crowd of people, from people like myself to people who have never drank, people who don't drink for religious reasons, people who have been, who are in the fellowship. It's a real mix of people, and their social media page is called Good Clean Fun, and I would highly suggest anybody checks it out if they want to start going dancing again, because it's a great place to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out for sure, because that's like I still occasionally go to gigs. More for my health, that it's harder for me now. Because I did put those first couple of years before I became ill, I was out partying until 4 o'clock in the morning, still in the arches. Like, yes, I can do this, no problem, and was always sober. Because I remember I was out with a group of people that didn't really know me, and I always drove. And when we were leaving, one of the girls said to my friend like that. Is she actually going to drive home? And Grant was like, she's sober. Like, she's not. And she was like, are you kidding me on? Like, she was all over the place. And I was just like in the music, in the atmosphere, living my best life. And then still being able to get in the car and drive home, drive everybody home, be so nice and safe. It was all good.
It's
So, yeah,
amazing.
any kind of event that encourages that connection and moving your body, because that a lot of that. A lot of the benefits that you get from going out and partying, it's actually the being out, being in community, moving your body. That's where you're getting all the good stuff. Is then when you top in alcohol and
Yeah.
drugs on top of it, but it can negate that if you have the bad relationship with alcohol.
Yeah, I read a really fascinating article, and I mentioned it a lot, so I should really look it out so I can share it. So I travelled Europe when I was younger with a techno sound system. I've always really been into techno music. And I read this fantastic article talking about, you know, the benefits of the somatic movement and even the boom from the speakers. And I always remember being right close to the speakers. But the bit that really, really caught my attention was, it was talking about Ireland and Scotland and how our national dance, if you think of Highland dancing and Irish dancing, and it's really, you know, really quick and fast and hard because, well, Ireland and Scotland suffered poverty not that long ago, like 3 or 4, you know, 3 or 4 generations ago. Ireland had the famine not that long ago. Big, massive, heavy drinkers as well. And the woman had said, you know, she was, her expertise was, somatically moving these issues out of your body, and she was like, you know, it's no wonder that these national dances, which carried on, were, you know, like that, were from these heavy drinking, trauma-ridden countries, and then they would just go and like, and I thought, God Almighty, that is so true, because as soon as I could go raving, you know, and I was at the happiest, and as you say, I was surrounded by people that loved me and cared for me. I had a great community when I lived abroad. I was taking drugs, but I wasn't drinking as much as I was then. You know, it was when I came back here and things got really, really bad at home with my dad and stuff that the drinking got worse. But, you know, now when I go out clubbing, which I do occasionally, and a bit like you, I like to put my bed early, but I just get lost in dancing because I know that I'm just giving myself that opportunity. And I don't really think about that until I've come home, but I'm like, just got rid of so much there. Like there's so much I've just managed either to let go or just be grateful for. So yeah, I think the rave scene, you know, probably really done a lot for a certain age group just to go away and just dance that shit out, and they didn't realize what they were actually doing.
Because I used to go. I used to go to the Resurrection over at Ingolston, and 20 hours of just moving, like, and like that shaking out. Didn't know what it was that you were doing. You were just in that. And I saw there was an article, that was talking about the different BPMs and how they resonate with your heartbeat and with your brain waves and stuff like that, and all the music can be really used to help transform. There's a lot of, like, I do sound baths now, there's a lot of like sound therapy, and they used to use that in the pyramids. Like, they would have a sound room where they would put people in to heal, and the vibrations all resonating, and music has got so much benefit, that we just need to remove the alcohol part.
Yeah, definitely.
To really make it beneficial, we can take that B. that wee inflammatory numbing toxin out of the equation, then we're going to have huge, huge benefits from it. Is there anything else you want to talk about today?
So I think just when you were saying there, removing that one thing, and you're right, it's a toxin. Some people would say it was a poison. So if anybody does want to stop, I don't want you to think about losing anything. I mean, you will be removing alcohol, but I'm sure you can, testify as well. The amount that it has brought into my life, it's not a negative. We're not talking about, doing without or, having to be somebody who no longer has fun. The majority of the people that I spend my time with now, apart from those girlfriends I was talking about, are alcohol free because that's just what's happened in my life. They've been drawn to me, and they're some of the most adventurous, fun loving, danger seeking, absolute legends that I have ever met. As soon as we remove that toxin or the alcohol or whatever it is your poison is, which is a really interesting saying, whatever your poison is, well, as soon as you remove that. And give yourself a couple of weeks, give yourself a chance with it. Like, don't be like, oh, I can't do this. This is, I'm going to lose friends, whatever. Just give yourself a chance. I read a book called 4,000 Weeks, and apparently we've got 4,000 weeks in our life on average. Try four of them without alcohol and see how you get on. See what else you do in those times. Rather than making like the evenings the highlight of your weeks or weekends, whatever your days off are, make it the morning, make it lunchtime. Think about the things that you've always wanted to do or you used to do. To go back to the very beginning of this call, Jen, when I spoke about that wee lassie that went out and drank a bottle of Thunderbird and got her stomach pumped, who I am today is far closer to that 14-year-old than I've ever been. I love riding my bike. I've got a sore ankle, so I can't really do it too much at the moment. I love swimming in the sea. I love reading. I love writing. I had an article published this week in a magazine that when I was at school, I thought I was going to be an investigative journalist. That's the sort of thing I wanted to do. So think back to when you were a teenager, think back to before you stopped drinking, and what was it that you really, really enjoyed? Allow yourself the opportunity to be like, I wonder if I still like that. So some people it might be painting, some people it might be playing football, could be anything. Don't see it as you're giving up anything. See it as an opportunity to actually, this is so cheesy, but I'm quite cheesy, to reconnect with who you were always meant to be. So yeah, that would be the best advice that I could give. Just please see it as a really positive experience. Even if your life feels shite because the alcohol's taken so much from you, you can give yourself an opportunity to say, I wonder what I could do differently here.
And something else that's just kind of coming into mind as well, that you've spoke about the shame that you used to feel. Not feeling guilty about all the things you've done. And I've had conversation, my partner doesn't really drink, and has never, like, he's Polish and just doesn't come from, he was always into sports and played handball professionally and stuff like that. So he was never a party boy. He never drank the way, when he came to Scotland, he was kind of like, people are weird. Why are you always out at the weekends? So he's never really been into that. And he was like, if you could go back, would you choose not to drink? And I was like, I don't think so, because so many of the mistakes that I made while I was drunk made me who I am today. I wouldn't be this person who now understands themselves, who is more sure of themselves, if I hadn't had those experiences. Like, I don't know that I wouldn't not do it, knowing the outcome. I don't feel guilty about what I did, because it was part of the journey. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I feel no, I agree. I'm really conscious of how we, this is not at you, but I know that sometimes people can interpret things the wrong way. And obviously I've not shared everything on this call, neither of you, and I don't want anybody to think, oh, well, it's easy for you because ever since, it can't have been that bad. There were some truly heinous and horrific things happened to me during the times when I drank for a very long period of time. And when I think about it and I try and unpick it all like it's a ball of wool, would I change any of it? Well, who I am today would never want to drink again. Like, even if somebody bopped me on the head with a magic wand and said, you won't get hangovers or whatever. Like, no, one, because it's too expensive. And I've never looked better than I do now. Like, my skin's great, my hair's great, I sleep well, my tummy's okay. So I can't ever imagine bringing alcohol back into my life. But I've definitely learned some incredibly important life lessons in the past, however long when I was drinking it up until now. And And it has made me who I am today. It definitely has made me who I am today. I wish I had been able to understand that my dad's opinion of me didn't matter. And that's a huge thing for many people. I know it is. And the more I drank, the more, it became more and more difficult for me to unravel and to unpick. So I kind of wish I'd given myself an opportunity to go, it doesn't matter what he thinks about you. It really doesn't matter what he thinks. You know what's true. So I can't say I wish I'd never ever drank because I've met the most amazing people, I've done the most amazing things, I've travelled and all the rest of it. But who I am today, that this wholeness of me, certainly not perfect in any way. If I brought my 20-year-old daughter onto this call, she would tell you plenty of things that I need to fix. But the one thing I've done every day since I got sober is wrote my gratitude. Like I know that's wild, but I have. Gratitude is so important to me, and I'm grateful for who I was, who I've become, and who I'm going to become. And I don't think that any of that who I am now, I wouldn't be this whole person that I am if I hadn't had the experiences that I had. And I've got a purpose in my life, which feels huge for a wee lassie for Loch End to say. Like I never even knew what that meant. My purpose absolutely is to support others who want to experience alcohol-free living. Will that change in 10 years? There's every chance. My friends that know me would say probably. She'll probably off to someone else, but I have to make sure that my experiences, good and bad, particularly the bad, aren't going to vain, and I'm able to support other people and say, listen, it's okay, we can make changes that we didn't believe that we could make. So to answer your question in a much shorter way, no, I don't think I could change anything that's happened in the past, There is guilt there on some things. I wish my mum had seen me sober. But my mum thought I was a wonderful person anyway. She loved me. She thought I was a good mum. She knew about my drinking. It wasn't like she maybe didn't know how much I drank. But there's part of me sometimes thinks, but I know she, and once again, this is my belief. I know she knows that I've stopped drinking. I know she knows that I've done all this stuff. She would be saying, stop telling people, Kirsty. I'd be like, your mum, stop telling people that you had a problem with a drink, Kirsty. People didn't need to know that. But I know she, I know for me, my belief system, what I believe in and what I feel on a cellular level is she knows. So I can't have too many regrets.
That's beautiful. If people want to find out more about Sober Buzz Scotland or more about you and what you do in your coaching and stuff, where
Yeah.
are the places for them to find you?
So on Instagram, I will get on Facebook one day. It's there, but I just don't use it. So Instagram, it's just Sober Buzz Scotland. My business is Sky Rose Coaching, but it's in both the bios. So if you go to one, you'll find the other. What I will say is anybody who contacts me, it is extremely, you need to know that, you're held in such safety and such, it's completely confidential. You're not going to shock me. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be, I will be there. I will answer. Not always on the same day because sometimes I get really busy, but we're there for you. And even if it's for a family member and you want a little bit of advice, drop us a message and I can absolutely point you in the di right direction. If it's not me that can help, there might be somebody else. I've said that I've got directors in Sober Buzz. It's just me that looks after the social media. So it would be me that MD would reach out and speak to. And yeah, I'd love to hear from anybody. It'd be nice.
I think definitely the energy that I get from you is one of deep compassion and non-judgment. And I think that's really important for anybody who's wanting to dip their toe in this journey, is to not feel judged and to be held in a safe and loving space without that judgment, because I think we judge
Absolutely.
people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one, as I've said, there's nobody gets to know my rock bottoms, so I'd be a terrible human if I was to judge. And two, I spent a year working full time in Stockton Prison. I'm very, very privileged. I still get to volunteer in there. And I speak to people in there and they feel very safe to share with me. There's no judgment. They've already been judged. I'm there to help them try and become, live alcohol or drug free. I'm not here to judge anybody. So whatever MD tells me, it will be held in compassion. And thank you for saying that because that's something that I'm so, I truly believe that about myself as well. So thank you.
It comes through on your social media as well as me now getting to speak to you on this conversation. It's just reaffirmed everything that I thought about you before I came
Oh,
on.
amazing. Oh, can I
Thank
say
you
one
so
last thing? I remembered something else. There's another page called Rhythmic Rhythms, which is also an alcohol-free night out. Sorry, they've been in touch with me loads and I've not been to their night out yet, but I've heard it's really good. So good, clean fun and rhythmic rhythms because I'm all about the sober socializing because everybody should still be able to party and dance and have fun.
Absolutely, absolutely should. I'll share that. I'll put that in the description. So wherever people are watching or listening to this, they can get all that information. And if anybody's listening to this and you know somebody that needs to hear what we've spoken about, please share it with them. And if you are listening to this and thinking, please do reach out and we will point you in the right direction to sober living if that's what you want to do.
Or alcohol-free living if your mum's
Or
listening.
alcohol living, or teetotal, or sober curious, or whatever you want to call it.
Listen, very, very quickly, there's another sober group who are more down south, I believe, but they have got people in Scotland, and they're called Dry, Drywy. But there's an amazing bunch of lassies for Glasgow who call themselves the Dry Rides, and that kills me. Like, they're so when you get to a woman in my age, you don't want to be saying that you're dry. So yeah, or if you're dry, like whatever language you want to use.
Yeah, whatever language it is that you want to use, you're welcome here. Thank
Thank you so much, Jen. I've really enjoyed this morning.
you so much. Thank you. Stop recording.